My name is Alex. I'm reading from Summit, New Jersey. This is Harry Potter, Book 2, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, Chapter 7, Mudbloods and Murmurs. Harry spent a lot of time over the next few days out of sight whenever he saw Gilderoy Lockhart coming down a corridor. Harder to avoid was Colin Creevy, who seemed to have memorized Harry's schedule. Nothing seemed to give Colin a bigger thrill than to say, "All right, Harry," 6 or 7 times a day and hear, "Hello, Colin, back," however exasperated Harry sounded when he said it. Hedwig was still angry with Harry about the disastrous car journey, and Ron's wand was still malfunctioning, surpassing itself on Friday morning by shooting out of Ron's hand in charms and hitting tiny old Professor Flitwick squarely between the eyes, creating a large, throbbing green boil where it had struck. So, with one thing and another, Harry was quite glad to reach the weekend. He, Ron, and Hermione were planning to visit Hagrid on Saturday morning. However, Harry was shaken awake several hours earlier than he would have liked by Oliver Wood, captain of the Gryffindor Quidditch team.
"Well, what's the matter?" said Harry groggily.
"Quidditch practice," said Wood. "Come on." Harry squinted at the window. There was a thin mist hanging across the pink and gold sky. Now that he was awake, he couldn't understand how he could have slept through the racket the birds were making.
"Oliver," Harry croaked, "it's the crack of dawn."
"Exactly," said Wood. He was tall and burly, sixth year. At the moment, his eyes were gleaming with a crazed enthusiasm. "It's part of our new training program. Come on, grab your broom and let's go," said Wood heartily. "None of the other teams have started training yet. We're going to be the first off the mark this year." Yawning and shivering slightly, Harry climbed out of the bed and tried to find his Quidditch robes.
"Good man," said Wood. "Meet you on the field in 15 minutes.
When he'd found his scarlet team robes and pulled on his cloak for warmth, Harry scribbled a note to Ron explaining where he'd gone and went down the spiral staircase to the common room, his Nimbus 2000 on his shoulder. He had just reached the portrait hole when there was a clatter behind him, and Colin Creevy came dashing down the spiral staircase, his camera swinging madly around his neck and something clutched in his hand.
"I heard someone saying your name on the stairs, Harry. Look what I've got. I had it developed. I wanted to show you."
Harry looked bemusedly at the photograph Colin was brandishing under his nose. A moving black and white Lockhart was tugging hard on an arm Harry recognized as his own. He was pleased to see that his photographic self was putting up a good fight and refusing to be dragged in the view. As Harry watched, Lockhart gave up and slumped panting against the white edge of the picture.
"Will you sign it?" said Colin eagerly.
"No," said Harry flatly, glancing around to check the room that was already deserted. "Sorry, Colin, I'm in a hurry. Quidditch practice." He climbed through the portrait hole.
"Oh, wow, wait for me. I've never watched a Quidditch game before."
Colin scrambled through the hole after him.
"It'll be really boring," Harry said quickly, but Colin ignored him, his face shining with excitement.
"You were the youngest house player in 100 years, weren't you, Harry? Weren't you?" said Colin, trotting alongside him. "You must be brilliant. I've never flown. Is it easy? Is that your own broom? Is that the best one there is?"
Harry didn't know how to get rid of him. It was like having an extremely talkative shadow.
"I don't really understand Quidditch," said Colin breathlessly. "Is it true that there are 4 balls, and 2 of them fly around trying to knock people off their brooms?"
"Yes," said Harry heavily, resigned to explaining the complicated rules of Quidditch. "They're called bludgers. There are 2 beaters on each team who carry clubs to beat the bludgers away from their side. Fred and George Weasley are the Gryffindor beaters."
"And what are the other balls for?" Colin asked,
tripping down a couple of steps because he was gazing open-mouthed at Harry. "Well, the Quaffle, that's the biggest red one, is the one that scores goals. 3 chasers in each team throw the Quaffle to each other and try to get it through the goalposts at the end of the pitch. They're the 3 long poles with hoops at the end."
"And the 4th ball?"
"Is the Golden Snitch," said Harry. "It's very small, very fast, and difficult to catch. But that's where the Seekers got to do.
because a game of Quidditch doesn't end until the snitch has been caught, and whichever team's seeker gets the snitch earns his team an extra 150 points.
"And you're the Gryffindor seeker, aren't you?" said Colin with awe.
"Yes," said Harry as they left the castle and started across the dew-drenched grass. "Oh, and there's a keeper, too. He guards the goalposts." "That's it, really." But Colin didn't stop questioning Harry all the way down the sloping lawns to the Quidditch field. And Harry only shook him off when he reached the changing rooms. Colin called after him in a piping voice,
"I'll go and get a good seat, Harry,"
and hurried off to the stands. The rest of the Gryffindor team were already in the changing room. Wood was the only person who looked truly awake. Fred and George Weasley were sitting puffy-eyed and tasseled hair next to a fourth-year, Alicia Spinett, who seemed to be nodding off against the wall behind her. Her fellow chasers, Katie Bell and Angelina Johnson, were yawning side by side opposite them.
"There you are, Harry. What kept you?" said Wood briskly.
"Now, I wanted a quick talk with you all before we get out onto the field, because I spent the summer devising a whole new training program, which I think really will make all the difference." Wood was holding up a large diagram of a Quidditch field, on which he were drawn many lines, arrows, and crosses in different colored inks. He took out his wand, tapped the board, and the arrows began to wiggle over the diagram like caterpillars. As Wood launched into a speech about his new tactics, Fred Weasley's head drooped right onto Aunt Alicia Spinett's shoulder, and he began to snore. The first board took nearly 20 minutes to explain, but there was another board after that, and a third one under that one. Harry sank into a stupor as Wood droned on and on.
"So," said Wood at long last, jerking Harry from a wistful fantasy about what he could be eating for breakfast at this very moment up at the castle. "Is that clear? Any questions?"
"I've got a question, Oliver," said George, who had woken with a start. "Why couldn't we have told us this all yesterday when we were awake?"